WBQC, People Powered Radio. WVQC LP Cincinnati.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
95.7 FM.
Better, stronger, faster.
Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. Speaking for the legalization of marijuana. WVQCLP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WVQCLP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WVQCLP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man and the Dope Boy Pot and Hash, featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WVQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
I got a hand full of wonder seed. I'm gonna cultivate this mystery. Ain't gonna be green peas tree.
Do you want marijuana? Do you want marijuana? You want marijuana?
95.7 is online at WVQC.org. Hemp Rock is at HempRock.com, and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP, low power to the people.
Take you back to year 1919, a time to look to for remembering.
Go to the store with a nickel or dime, but keep one thing in mind, it's prohibition time.
Don't let that keep you from going out, gonna drink in spite of the illegal drought.
But remember when somewhere down the line, when you're busted with wine, it's prohibition time.
Prohibition time, yes, it's prohibition time. When you're busted with wine, it's prohibition time. There is one difference between now and then. The underground has since grown from within.
Today we're playing with a different game.
Here comes Mary Jane, and it's all just the same. Prohibition time, yes, it's prohibition time. When you're busted with wine, it's prohibition time. I'll take you back to year 1919, a time to look to for remembering.
Today we're playing with a different game.
Here comes Mary Jane, and it's all just the same.
We'll be right back.
prohibition time. Yes, it's prohibition time. When you're busted with wine, it's prohibition time. Well, I'll take you back to year 1919. A time to look to for remembering.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. We envision new drug policies grounded in science, compassion, health, and human rights.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because it fosters debate on drug policy.
Because the war on drugs represents an extraordinary violation of human rights.
Because whether you use drugs or not, you deserve to be treated with respect, kindness, and dignity.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I'm a scientist.
Because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
We believe the war on drugs is really a war on people.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I want my children to receive honest drug education.
Because it's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to tell the truth about drugs and our failed drug policies.
Because the war on drugs is a war on people of color.
The Drug Policy Alliance promotes harm reduction.
Because the drug problem is a health problem, not a criminal problem.
We promote new solutions to reduce the harms of both drug use and drug prohibition.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I believe in the right to sovereignty over one's own mind and body.
Because so many people are incarcerated.
I know. I spent 12 years in prison because of a first-time nonviolent drug offense.
Because I believe in personal freedom and personal choice.
Because the drug war
isn't that the war on drugs, it's
the war on people. I'm Tony Papa.
I'm George Soros.
I'm Sting, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I'm Larice Harvey.
I am Dr. Matilda Krim.
I'm Elizabeth Sarnoff.
I'm Montel Williams, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. Online at drugpolicy.org. Please join us.
Hi, I'm with the War on Drugs.
And I'm with LEAP.
Hey, I see you let that one get away.
Get away? What?
You let Michael Phelps go.
Ah, oh, he's such a nice fella. But we're going after those other scum, though.
Ah, yes. The wrong crowd we've heard so much about.
Those bastards just sitting there doing drugs.
Doesn't justice demand equal treatment under the law?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, how would it look, given the prison sentence or even probation to an Olympic gold medalist?
Yeah, what harm was he doing?
Right. I mean, well, he was hanging out with drug dealers. That's what he was doing.
Throw the book at him.
I can't.
Throw the book at them.
Now you're talking. Send our kids a message.
Yeah, swim faster.
Hi, I'm Gatewood Galbraith, criminal law attorney and the last free man in America. You're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, WVQCLP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM.
All right, it is Hemp Rock Radio, and I am the Happy Hemptress, and over there rolling the pot today is the Burn Man, of course, and next to him is Country Kenny. And guess what Country Kenny's doing at this very, very second, folks?
Waiting to smoke this pot, I'm rolling.
That too, that's exactly right. Of course, he is in the process of signing a letter to the man who holds Mark Emery's life in his hands right now. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. Let me see that sheet there, Kenny, and I'm going to, because I want to tell folks what's going on with that. In the meantime, of course, as I said, it is Hemp Rock Radio here at WVQC LP Cincinnati and 95.7 FM. And, of course, we are struggling to stay on the air, folks, so we need your membership, of course. You know, every beginning of the show, I ask for your money. Money, 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 show me the money. Of course, you can be a member for only $30. And if you give a little bit extra, $10, $20 extra, of course, you'll get a piece of clothing that you pick out from Natural Choice, who's donated to the station on behalf of Hemp Rock. And you could be just like Mima and be a member of this station. Now, stay tuned. Of course, Natural Choice is getting ready to launch that line on the web, so you can go to Facebook and look them up at Natural Choice, or the web, the regular web at naturalchoice.com, and see what's going on with their clothing that supports our movement, specifically locally, of course. But I do have to give a shout out to Robert Lawrence. a new friend that I've made, and that song we heard at the top of the show, of course, was his very own Prohibition Time. What a cool song. What a cool song.
Yes, it was.
I love it. Really like it. So you can find that, of course, on the web. You can also go to Facebook and look up Robert Bruce Lawrence, and he's got some notes that you can go check out and different things that he's doing along with the music. So again, we thank Robert for that. Again, that was Prohibition Time that started the show off today. Now, we have to give a shout-out, you guys, to Mr. Gatewood Galbraith, soon to be governor of Kentucky. I spoke to him last night, and you know what he said? He often wondered years ago what he would be doing at age 64. We know what the Beatles said.
Right.
But you know what I said? I think he should be governor at the age of 64.
Yeah, he should be.
And, of course, what I'm talking about is yesterday was Gatewood's 64th birthday. So along with the show and everybody else that knows him, we wish him a happy 64th and a very, very great future, and hopefully soon to be governor of Kentucky. Now, of course, the Cincinnati and the Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, with Willie Nelson and ourselves, and of course many others, support that Gatewood Galbraith campaign and the D. Riley for governor and lieutenant governor of Kentucky. So stay tuned for that. Now, I don't have a whole lot of time to go over what happened at our meeting last Wednesday, but we had a great, fantastic meeting. 18 people showed up at our Covington Frisch's meeting, and we even had an extra one came over, and a guy started talking to me at the salad bar and said, are you talking about what I think you're talking about? And I said, I think I am. So he wanted some information, and he got our brochure and found out what the meeting was about, and met everybody and said he'd like to be involved next time. So we hope that he can get in contact with us and make the next meeting. And just for you folks out there, so you know, we will be meeting every 2 weeks instead of once a month, folks. We are rolling the balls and the joints here, so we got to keep this thing going. So if you want to be involved with us and the Teapot Party, you can contact us through Facebook and or hemprock.com to get in contact with us. Now, as I mentioned before, Kenny was filling out a letter. This is to the Honorable Minister Vic Towles, Minister of Public Safety. He's on Parliament Hill in Ontario. Now, what this is asking is Mark Scott Emery is a Canadian citizen recently sentenced in the United States for 5 years for distribution of cannabis seeds. Now, he is doing his 5 years that he took a plea for here in the United States. And, of course, they're messing with him. They sent him down to Atlanta, Georgia, so he was even further away from his wife, Jody Emery. And she has to come in every week into this country and fly down to Atlanta. And it's a hardship for her, a hardship for everybody else that's trying to help out. And they're trying to get this Minister of Public Safety to allow Mark to be sent back to Canada to do his time in his home country so he can be closer to his family. We have till the first of the next month, February 1st, to get all of these letters in. We are getting them signed, and I'm going to get a package together and send it in on behalf of everybody. So whoever wants to get this signed in the next few days, get a hold of us, and we can make sure that you get it signed. Or else, go to Free Mark Emery. On the website and on the web, rather. I don't have it in front of me, folks, so I can't tell you the website. But do a quick search for Free Mark Emery, and you will get this letter as well, and you can print it out and sign it. It does have to be printed out and legitimately signed with your information and then sent in, and so you have just a few days to do that now. Now, as you know, Cincinnati City Council on December 30th voted to not only have a new budget for 2011, but in that budget voted to repeal the Cincinnati Marijuana Ordinance that for the last 5 years has been causing folks to be arrested in Cincinnati. That is no longer on our books. And as you know, I've been thanking the different ones personally over the last couple of weeks on this issue. And this past Tuesday, we had an interview with Todd Portune, our county commissioner, who was a major hand in that. So stay tuned. In just a few minutes, we're going to be airing an interview that I think was a fantastic interview. Was it not, Burnman?
Yeah, I like Pot. I like it, guys.
Todd Portune is, as far as I'm concerned, the best politician, the absolute most fantastic politician that we have in our fair city, our county, and our state. And I hope he goes further, except that I would hate to lose him out of Cincinnati area and the county here, because he is what is known as a true, legitimate, truthful politician. And So stay tuned for that. Very quickly, though, I do want to give a shout to the family of David Crowley, former Cincinnati council member and vice mayor. He died this past week at the age of 73, and I, for one, am grateful for him. Although we lost those 2 years that the law was voted to be put on the books, which totaled 5 years. The first year we won in 2005, and then in 06 and 07, as you know, it got on the books, stayed on the books till this past year. When it did go to vote, David Crowley, who was first councilman, then vice mayor, was one of the strongest opposing votes out of the two that on the nine council that voted against it. Even Jim Tarbell, who's no longer on the council, at some point planned, if you guys remember, was going to vote yes. It would have been the lone David Crowley against this law. And I personally stood in front of City Hall and convinced Jim Tarbell to vote no. He was our second vote no. So we thank him for doing the right thing. But David Crowley was the staunch council person against it, and he voted against it each time. And so we thank him for that, even though it got on the books anyway. But he also was another of those great politicians that we have here in the local area. Unfortunately, he was no longer on council, and now even more unfortunately, he has passed away. So he was buried yesterday with his family, and we want to give sympathies out to the family for David Crowley's passing. In the meantime, there are a lot of other things in the news. We're going to talk a lot about more stuff tomorrow. We got a lot of things coming up tomorrow. You'll just have to stay tuned for that. But some of the things we're going to be talking about is Jessica Gamble, the young mother who has now been kept from her daughter because she got her high. She received 6 months in jail, 4 months time served, because yes, folks, she has been in jail the whole time for getting her 2-year-old little girl high, the most benign substance known to man that has never hurt anybody 50, 150, or 5, for that matter. So this is something we've been covering the whole time. We are disgusted with what happened here in our county. I just wish Harry would have been the lawyer. That's right. Harry. Y'all know who I'm talking about? It's called Harry's Law. Stay tuned. We're even going to have a clip from that. That is a new program on NBC, Harry's Law, about a lawyer in Cincinnati. A new Cincinnati program. The coolest program on TV right now. Stay tuned for that. We'll be talking more about that tomorrow. In the meantime, we are going to cut to the interview with Todd Portoon. We may not be back because of time constraints. So I am the Happy Hemptress. We are Hemp Rock Radio here at WVQC LP and 95.7 FM. The barman's going to roll it up, and we may or may not be back depending on time constraints. If we don't get back, we will see you tomorrow. Here's Todd Portoon and Hemp Rock Radio. Well, first of all, Todd, let me ask you, how long have you been county commissioner now?
I'm in my 11th year now.
11 years?
It's hard to believe.
It's like you were on council yesterday.
Well, it doesn't seem that way to me.
I bet it doesn't.
Although I really can't believe it's been that long, because when I got elected, it was such a breakthrough. There hadn't been a Democrat elected for 36 years.
Yeah.
And now here I've been able to stay there for that long.
How long were you on
council? Developed quite a base of support. 4 full terms on council. I was term limited there. So
yeah.
It's been a real career now at this point. I'm going into 19 years in elected office.
Fantastic. Well, I've been active about 21 years myself, and I know you've been around most of that, and I you know, have to say personally, you're my favorite local politician.
Yeah, you're kind.
And you have fought the fight, the good fight.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've lost, of course, as you know. We won't digress about the stadium. Everything that I have seen that you do, and I think that's one of the reasons why you have the support base that you do here in the tri-state, in this city specifically, and in the county, is because you are not always one-sided. You want to do what's right for the city, and you got support from all sides, I think, and that's what's helped. And I can certainly appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
But, you know, we've known each other now, I guess, since about 1997.
Right.
As you know, a friend of ours, councilman from Arlington Heights, Roland Haney, had won by very few votes, by 3 or 4 votes in 1997, and they almost kept him off that council in 1997-98 inauguration.
True.
And we asked you to help us, and you came out to the Haney's house in Arlington Heights on January 1st. It's
14 years ago this month, and or 13 years ago actually, because it was 98 at the time, and swore in Roland Haney as councilman in Arlington Heights, and it was on Channel 19 News, and it was for us a very, very big thing to have you out there to do that.
I remember that well. In fact, that year, we both digress here, but
that's okay.
That was the year that the Bearcats went to their first bowl game since the 50s. They went to the Humanitarian Bowl, you know, this thing out in Boise, Idaho. And their program continued to progress ever since. And the reason I remember that is my mother, who was alive at the time, bled red and black UC. She loved UC. And so my brothers and I, we chipped in and sent Mom out to that bowl game as a Christmas present.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of fun. But that time period really is sort of indelibly etched in my mind, and it did include getting to know Roland a lot better, and the swearing-in ceremony out at his house in Arlington Heights on New Year's Day. And
yeah,
it was a nice ceremony. And Roland was a guy who, as you know, kind of put it on the line and stuck his neck out there. And,
yes, he did.
And attracted, unfortunately, a lot of hate from people who didn't want to be exposed what they were doing. One of those things being the
sounds like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it does. I hear that. I expect to see Rod Serling's ghost over here somewhere,
along with Roland, since he did pass.
Yeah. One of the things Roland drew attention to was sort of that money gravy train that was being done with the speed enforcement on 75
with the Arlington Heights.
And unfortunately, it did more than just bring money in to the village. It also resulted in an inordinate number of deaths from high-speed chases as people got spooked. Usually it was kids who were not doing anything really bad. But
stealing a car and fleeing.
Well, not even that bad. I mean, that's bad enough, but you might have had some kids who had a joint on them.
Yes.
And they got spooked by the fact that the police were after them, and they fled.
That's right.
And lost control of the vehicle, and you'd have one or more people dead.
Two, actually, at the time, in the late 90s.
Yeah, it was a bad deal.
Yeah, that was one of the things that the Haneys and Roland, specifically as a councilman, was always against, was high-speed chases.
Right.
Because it results in deaths that are not necessary. And mostly young kids or innocent people walking by as the cruiser or the other car goes flying by and kills them.
Right.
And so that definitely is something that he fought against, as well as fighting for medical marijuana. As you know, he was a medical patient. He, unfortunately, sometime after that inauguration, a few years later, as a councilman, he passed away due to stomach cancer.
Right.
And he was a medical marijuana user. And one of the things I remember mostly is that the council was doing everything that they could to get Roland out of Arlington Heights, and they were threatening to make all the council people pee in a cup for urine testing. And if they failed, they wouldn't be allowed to be on council. And, of course, he fought that because it's unconstitutional. As you know, you can't make a politician pee in a cup.
Yep.
And
yep.
So he won that fight as well, and many others. So, along with Roland, working in the small community, you know, there's only 1,100 average voters registered in the city of Arlington Heights. It's a very small community.
Correct.
And, but outside of Cincinnati, and yourself also being one of those supporters as well. And of course, you know, knowing all of these things and knowing you this long and knowing that you supported our issues, and I'm sure you remember, of course, in 97, 98, 99, while you were still on council, we were going to try to get a medical marijuana ordinance passed here. And at the time, we believed we had 4 votes, but never did get a 5th support out of the council members, which is why we didn't go forward on that. And another reason why I was so upset in 05 when David Pepper, as you know, fellow Democrat, who was on city council in 2005, wanted to push this marijuana ordinance then.
Right.
And I was, first of all, very upset and astounded that anybody would even think of doing that in the state of Ohio, much less Cincinnati. And that is one of the reasons why I called you at that time and asked you for your help. So personally, myself, on behalf of everybody that was against that ordinance, I thank you for that time in 2005, because I personally believe that without your call and information going and emails going to David Pepper on how yourself and other people in the community felt about this, I really believe that that's why he pulled it off the table in 2005. So happened I was pleased it was on my birthday as well.
Yeah.
So it was a birthday present for me. And so I want to thank you for your, you know, although you weren't on council, and the county commissioner has no say about city laws, but your influence is what stopped that in 2005.
Well, no influence directly, though. From the county's perspective, we have to provide the money to run the jails.
Right.
And there's no doubt that that bill was going to have an impact on the jail overcrowding issue and was going to end up costing the county money from an enforcement perspective. It was a bad bill.
Yes.
And all the excuses that, well, we're really doing this so that we can get people to treatment, et cetera, all proved to be a bunch of malarkey.
Yes.
And it did nothing except exacerbate some of the problems that we've had to deal with. And statistically, it has been demonstrated time and time and time again that whether it's marijuana, some of the other drug laws, when you're dealing with nonviolent crimes, when you're dealing with the so-called victimless nature of crimes, that to incarcerate people as opposed to dealing with issues from a public health perspective is the wrong way to go about it. I mean, let's be honest, there are people that abuse drugs.
Yes.
Whether they're prescription drugs or non-prescription drugs, people abuse drugs.
That's right.
And whether it's made illegal or not, the fact of the matter is, it is a public health issue and should not be the kind of a thing that leads to jail overcrowding, takes law enforcement away from what their job ought to be, which is really protecting the public peace and providing for public security, going after the violent crimes, the kinds of things that threaten our lives and people's property. That's what I think that most of the general public truly want the dollars that they generously give to us for law enforcement to be devoted to, and not for issues involving drugs that are not also tied to some of those same things. You know, saying that, you also got to be clear that there are drug crimes that are violent, that that do cross the line, where
absolutely
incarceration is absolutely appropriate. And we're not talking about any of that stuff here.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati marijuana bill really went way too far and was not well thought out. It came at a bad time, and it really didn't serve any good public purpose,
and
I'm glad that it's off the books.
Absolutely, me too.
Yeah.
And you know, it fell down to, as I said earlier, David Pepper took it off the table in 05, and then a retired African American officer, Cecil Thomas, who's one of our councilmen, picked up that bandwagon. And I think everybody believed him because he was a retired police officer. Oh, he knows best.
Yeah.
He knows what the streets are. And, of course, the contention was it's going to get all the guns off the street because it'll help us find those weapons on all those pot smokers carrying the guns.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, we built a page dedicated to these stats, CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com,
mm-hmm.
to expose these stats from the bottom up and the top down, from how many guns are being seized each year, how many arrests for this each year, how many shootings, and blah, blah, blah. And it proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the law was not working, didn't do what it was intended to do, and in fact, as Wendell Young pointed out, it was keeping people from going to college.
Yeah.
You know, what better way to keep somebody down who's poor but to take away their ability to go change their life for a better? And that was one of the things that we tried to stress on everybody on the council at the time, both in 05, 06, and then 07 when it was put back on the books after the first year, was that the same people you're trying to say you want to save from the guns are the same people you're not going to be able to save, because they won't be able to get a better education to either get out of the drug dealing business in the streets or even better than going to work at McDonald's and stuff. And now the economy, the way it is really where I wanted to hit this thing. And why I wanted to build this website and show the facts to the council and the city that it was not working. It was costing us more money. We have no money. They had to cut budget here and there, and what better place to cut it but then a place that's not working?
Yep.
So, of course, the irony, of course, then was a retired African-American police officer is who put it on the table to have it repealed.
Yep.
So it was a retired cop against a retired cop.
There's some poetic justice
in wasn't
that, it? I guess.
That's, yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. That's what I thought. So now we haven't had a chance. We plan to go talk to some of the other council members. We did speak to Laurie Quinlivan, the vice mayor, Roxanne Qualls, and Wendell Young. Mm-hmm. I still personally want to thank Cecil Thomas, myself personally, because he ended up being the deciding vote, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 5-4 vote in the end on December 30th, and Cecil was the deciding vote. And I was as surprised as anybody that he would have been the one to overturn his own bill.
Yeah.
And
well, I think Cecil had some misgivings about it. I think he always did. I reached out to council members in both 2005 and again in 2007.
Yes.
And throughout some of these discussions that the impact of that bill on the county's problems was repeatedly evaluated and discussed, and I would reach out at times. Cecil, I think, always felt a little bit uneasy about it. He was a new council person back in relatively new in 2005.
Mm-hmm. 2006,
I think he was persuaded that that there was, by others who were pushing it, that there was good intent behind it. He was willing to try to see if it would work. But I never, even though Cecil ultimately did support it then in 2007, I never got a feeling that he was a real sort of gung-ho champion. This is the exactly what we need kind of a
He was doing somebody else's work.
I think he was.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that he always felt that if the time would come when he might be able to revisit that decision, that he'd take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And so he did.
Yeah, and I'm proud of him for that, because yeah. I always felt that it wasn't his idea to begin with. We knew it wasn't Cecil's idea.
Right.
It came from originally David Pepper and whoever he was working with at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of people go, oh, you know, those politicians that switch, they're no good when they change their mind. Why should we stay stringent against something that's not working? The best politician is the one who will go, I was wrong, and change it.
Yeah, I would hope that that people would have a different view and, in fact, encourage folks in elected office to be willing to challenge themselves about their opinions and always be open.
Absolutely.
For to be proven wrong.
Absolutely.
You don't... this notion that everybody knows everything and there's only one answer and it's rigid and that's the way it is and always will be is preposterous.
It is.
I mean, it really is. If you want to be run by robots, great, but that's not what our form of government was set up to do. It was designed to produce robust debate about issues, designed for the clash of ideas to take place within a civil setting, so that our arguments as a nation and as a people would be fought in the halls of legislatures and not on the streets of our communities. I mean,
exactly.
That's how it's supposed to work. But if you are rigid and you never change and you're never willing to accept another point of view, and you're not willing to debate and certainly not willing to be civil about it, that is a recipe for those fights then to be fought in the street.
That's right.
And I'm not saying that we're necessarily heading that way, but the kind of discourse that we have today, or what is masqueraded as discourse,
yeah,
is not the kind of discussion that needs to take place in a healthy democracy.
I agree. Well, you know, you mentioned in 2007, that was, I remember we had from LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
Yep.
If you remember, myself and Howard Wooldridge came
true
from LEAP to discuss it with you at the
in fact,
time.
I've corresponded with Howard this past year.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So he's keeping up with you.
Yeah, and I with him.
Up.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
He started another organization, as a matter of fact, COPS, Citizens Opposed to Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
That's his new organization. So that was one of the things that we wanted to do at the time, was incorporate retired officers that opposed that law. Mm-hmm. And so great for him doing that. That's fantastic. Well, I don't want to take too much of your time up. I know you have a lot to do. So before we go, let us know what's going on as county commissioner, what you're doing now, and what you want to see for our fair city and county here.
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest issue right now for everybody is jobs. And anything that we can do on a local level to spark a real resurgence in the local economy. I'm glad that even though we are a diverse commission from a political partisan perspective, and in fact we're really kind of one-to-one-to-one because you've got Commissioner Monzel, who is a self-avowed representative of the Tea Party.
Oh boy.
You have Commissioner Hartman, who by all public accounts is a moderate Republican, and I can say from personally working with Greg over the past 2 years, I'd describe him that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a Republican, but he's moderate and he's open-minded about things, and he listens and he's willing to hear other ideas. And so all you can ask of people is that they be willing to do that, and then there's me. So we have three very diverse ways of looking at things on our board, and I think that's going to produce, over the next 2 years, a very exciting time for the county. I think you're going to see commissioners come together around ideas and around issues because they're the right thing to do and for all the right reasons, and not just that one group is marching in lockstep to a particular partisan agenda or anything like that. So it's going to be good, but the big issue is jobs, and we agree on that whatever we can do to spark a resurgence in the local economy and not wait to be saved by somebody else is what we're going to have to do. We've got to be willing to make strategic investments in things that are going to work. There are some people who in this day, when the economy is performing as poorly as it is and public revenues are down, I mean, they would have us just sort of curl up in a ball and do nothing and just cut and cut and cut and cut and cut. Well, you're never going to cut yourself to prosperity. It's just not going to happen. And there are people who need help, who we have to do things for. So we've got to take those steps, make those strategic investments. And at the same time, we've got to make sure that we continue a full menu of services from the county, because there are people who are in need of help. Now, I wrote Commissioner Monzel before he took office. I wrote him a letter in anticipation of his swearing in, which occurred within a week of me sending this to him. But you know, one of the mantras of the Tea Party is the government's bad. You know, government's the problem. The government's bad. We need less of it everywhere, and the more we can have none of it, the better off we all are, which is kind of interesting in terms of people who want to be a part of government who you know, think is it. I won't go down that path, but
I will, but because he supported the marijuana ordinance. He was one of those votes for that ordinance. So.
Well, and he was the author, actually, of another bill that he's dealing with sexual predators that has done nothing but cause problems for the county that we're actually dealing with in a proactive way. Well, all it did was kick your registered sex offenders out of communities like Cincinnati into the bedroom communities of the county, where they don't have the authority to write laws like that.
Yeah.
So it produced this out-migration.
So now they're hiding in the suburbs.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, the then councilman didn't really care, but now he's a commissioner, and those are his constituents.
Yeah.
And I'm getting off track. But what I wrote to Chris was, I sent him a letter, and I said, if you really want to know anything about me, It's this, in terms of my view of government. And there's a book from the New Testament in the Bible that mm-hmm. is actually one of my favorite books. It's the book of Romans. Mm-hmm. And in there, the Apostle Paul is writing all about, it's really a blueprint to a lot of things, but there's an entire chapter devoted to government and the role of government in the world. And government is a good thing, and we need government. We need people who want to be leaders, who are there not to divide and not to tear things down, but actually to do good work, because there are people who are in need of help. And I wrote to Chris, I said, if you ever want to know anything about me in terms of government, that's it. I don't view government as the enemy. I view it as an instrument of good.
Yes.
To help people who are in need. That's what I think we need to do. And I hope that his service as a commissioner will result in an awakening in him of the real spirit of what being an elected leader is all about.
Yeah.
You know, it's not to tear down, not to divide. It's really to build up and to unite, and hopefully he will.
I agree. Again, people can change. Cecil did. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that that Chris realizes the folly in his vote for that ordinance,
yeah,
and changes some of those perspectives to realize that government is there to do good things and not stop,
right,
people from doing what this country is supposed to be free.
Right.
And, you know, just an example, and, you know, I try to be non-partisan as far as what party. I don't stay with any one,
mm-hmm,
because there are people with the Republican Party that I support, Gary Johnson, for one, mm-hmm, who plans to possibly run for president next time. And then, of course, yourself. Now, there's a Democrat out of Iowa that we heard about recently that the first bill that's going up for legislation in Iowa this year is to outlaw any alcoholic beverages that have caffeine in it. First one is Kahlua. And the Black Russians and the rum and Cokes are going to be out the window.
Yeah.
He's trying to target like the Red Bull and the different things like that that have now added alcohol, where kids can go buy the alcohol drink that also has a kick of caffeine in it.
Mm.
And it, but he's written it in such a way that it'll even include rum and Cokes and Black Russians and things like that. Any kind of liqueur that might have some caffeine in it. And it's just another one of those examples of another law that's not going to work. And so, you know, there's...
Wow, I don't get that.
We don't either. It's, look it up. It's out of Iowa.
I'll do that.
And it is their first bill that's coming up in their legislature this year is to outlaw alcoholic beverages with caffeine.
You would think that are more important issues to worry about. But, hey...
Well,
too many people making laws.
You know, the end of our show, yeah, our last segment was our Chef Pot and Hash, our Hemp Rock Cafe segment, brought in a list of crazy laws that are still on the books around the country.
Mm.
And one of them was in California, I think, where guys can't sit in front of their TV and watch sports in their underwear while drinking a beer. I swear to God, Todd, it's really on the books. He found this on the internet.
Eating ice cream with a fork.
Can't eat ice cream with a fork in public in one of the California cities. And we're
really?
Like, somebody really needed
like
a job. And that's just a list of 10 that he ran off on the end of the show.
Interesting.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable things that people
wild
come
stuff
up with. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So, Todd, I don't want to take any more of your time. I know you have to go. So, once again, I want to thank you for everything that you did, whether it was in 05, 06, 07, 97, with Mr. Haney and everything, and all that you do.
Yeah.
And you know you have our support here.
Thanks,
with Hemp Rock. And one last note.
Sure.
You mentioned that Chris is with the Tea Party. We have started with a national group, the Teapot Party, on behalf of Willie Nelson, who was recently busted again in Texas for a small amount of marijuana. So Willie put out the word, I want to start the Teapot Party.
Yeah.
And our motto is, we lean a little to the left. And our mission is to tax regulate and legalize marijuana.
Yeah.
And why should the cartels make all the money? The bad guys, they shouldn't be making the money.
Well, I mean, people have said for a long time that that to legalize and regulate and tax drugs is one of the answers to our financial ills as a nation. There certainly is a better answer than the so-called war on drugs, which is really nothing more than a war on us.
That's right.
I mean, it's a war on America fought by Americans internally, and nothing's been won, nothing's being changed.
More people dying every day.
It has sparked so much violence and despair and grief and poverty. I don't know. I would hope that we all live to see a day when some sanity is interjected into the discussion.
Let's bring some sanity back to our country.
Let's hope. Let's hope, Lynn.
Thank
all right.
you.
Thanks.
I'll be talking to you again.
Okay.
All righty.
The street of God almost drowned me down. I hit it on the fender, said, better slow it down. It jumped from the car and shot me in the leg, and it put me in Cincinnati jail. Well, I went before the judge, he said, 20,000 pounds. So you are the bad guy, the good guy. Put me in a cell with steel for my bed, my shoe fire pillow and my legs still full of lead. You can't get a thing for the pain in the Cincinnati jail. Said so too. Be careful what you do and call, it just might shoot you too. Life's right, cuz you live to tell the tale. Oh, put you in Cincinnati jail. Y'all have a Cincinnati jail.
You're seriously saying we should legalize drugs? Is this
everybody commissioned to study the problem has said it.
Who? Everybody
if
who?
If we legalize them, we treat the disease instead of punishing it away.
Great, then you want to pass out needles too?
Perhaps. You're against the spread of AIDS. Are you?
If we were to legalize drugs...
We could neutralize the gangs, take the drug business out of the shadows.
Do what? Celebrate it?
How about regulate it? Tax it?
Yes, and then every liberal in America could just light up and say, hallelujah, legalize drugs.
The idea was first raised by conservative Republicans.
Oh, please, when?
When the party had thinkers. Before it was hijacked by the likes of Rush Limbaugh.
Here we go.
A drug addict himself.
Ancient history.
Who somehow fared much better in our justice system. I wonder why.
Hi, I'm Tommy Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio.
Hi, I'm Cheech Marin, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org.
Cincinnati, 95.7 FM.
That really wasn't Chong.
It really was, and we are almost out of here, folks. I didn't think we'd have enough time to come back at the end of all of that, but we actually do have about 2 minutes left, so I do want to tell you what you were listening to, of course. Well, the last clip you just heard was just a quick clip, teaser, of the new program here in Cincinnati called, or supposed to be out of Cincinnati anyway, and I can assure you I haven't really seen anything in the first show, that really is anything about Cincinnati. And if anybody knows if there's a Chinese laundry anywhere in the city, please let me know where it is, because I don't think there is. But if you didn't see the show, of course, go to NBC.com or Hulu.com and look up the pilot for Harry's Law with Kathy Bates, a brand new, fantastic program, especially for us liberals, of course, made by David Kelly, who, of course, made The Practice, and Ally McBeal, and the last one being the one with William Shatner. I'm going to blank on the title of it, of course. I'm going to forget the name of the last show that just ended, folks. I'm sorry. Anyway, he does some great programs, a lot of them about law, and this is a new one. And it's a little bit cheesy. It's a little bit corny. Her name's Harriet Korn. She gets fired, and, of course, the opening scene, folks, is Kathy Bates smoking a joint in her patent law office, and then she gets fired. Not for the pot, but just because they're tired of her being in the office. They don't like her anymore, and they fire her. She goes downtown in the area that didn't really look like the downtown Cincinnati, but it doesn't really matter. It's all metaphor. And she first has an African-American guy drop on her when he tried to kill himself jumping off a building. Why? Because he was facing a third charge of cocaine possession and was going to go to jail and lose his college and everything else. And that's her first case, folks. It is great. And what I played for you is a clip from the hearing where she was fighting for this man's life. And there are other cases as well. It's such a cool show. All I can say is tomorrow we will be playing more clips from it and covering what's going on here with Harry's Law. And keep up on that show, because it's a great show. Again, if you missed it this past week, you can go to NBC.com or Hulu to check it out. Now, the song also that was right before that was Lonnie Mack and Cincinnati Jail. It was live set from the Lonesome Pine special in Louisville, Kentucky, of course, from a few years ago. Cincinnati Jail. Now, you, of course, know why we played it, because you're not going to go to a Cincinnati or even a Hamilton County jail anymore in the city of Cincinnati, thanks to folks like Todd Portune, our organization, not those out there that claim it.
Right.
And we want to, of course, thank lots of people for that. And you can get all the information at the site CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com and find out what really happened here in Cincinnati. In the meantime, we are out of here. Jay is coming up tomorrow. We got lots of information coming. Reported on a guy a few weeks back, if you guys remember, the guy that was killed out in Long Beach when he had the end of a water hose that looked like a gun from the distance, yeah. And they murdered him. I didn't know at the time, folks, when I was reporting on that was my friend's son in Long Beach. So I want to talk about that tomorrow and how I found that out. In the meantime, we are out of here. Jay's up next. It is Hemp Rock Radio. The Burn Man's over there rolling it. And now Country Kenny with the Street Vibes magazine is going to smoke it. We will be back tomorrow, 1 to 3, same time, same place.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and the Pottsbury Dope Boy Pot and Hash. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern on WBQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. To help end Cincinnati's harmful marijuana ordinance, please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WBQC-LP is Jay All Day with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood. Don't want it to get high.